And Allah doesn't leave us without mentioning that to us. He says, and God is the one who revolves the blessings to the nations. And again, he says, he tried people to see how will they do if they were put into power. And then behind him, he replaced them with another people and try another people. That's the way of God. So we know that when God gives us the story of Adam in the Quran and in the Bible, God is giving us the story of our own life, human life, and its capacity and potential for building life, not only for itself and its people, but for building life for the whole human world. Cultural life, industrial life, all of it. In Islam, we are to focus on the whole life of mankind, not just on the spiritual features of man or aspect of man's life, on the whole life, life in all of its wonderful possibilities. And God created every human being to wake up to that life, to engage that life, to follow the best leadership to take us forward in that life or to that life, or ourselves to assume responsibility for taking our world, our people, into that life. That's the promised land. It was mentioned to Abraham. Why? Because Abraham is the second father. He's the second father representing the coming of knowledge and concerns, pardon me, for developing the intellect of man. The intellect of man. Abraham is the one that focused on the intellect of human beings and wanted to unite the whole people. Because the Bible says he'll become a father of the many. And the Quran says God made him to be a leader of the many. A leader of the many. So he represents that attention to the intellect, to improve the intellect. Study the sciences. And his discovery of God begins with him studying the objective world, the world out there. The story in Islam, Quran and in Islam goes like this, that Abraham left his father's king, and his father was the biggest man, and his society was the most advanced society at that time, Abraham. He left his father because his father believed in idols, and he didn't believe that his father should have people believing in idols. Not that he thought his father was stupid enough to think that an idol made by their hands, or clay or something, had power. He knew better than that. But he just wanted to show them how ridiculous it was that they would worship idols and give that idea to others who were not as educated or as developed intellectually as the father, as his father, and the ones that was running the society. The masses, the common people, were actually thinking that those physical things had power, had divine power, and they feared them and prayed to them. So this was a sin, taking advantage of the ignorance, of the unlearned and ignorant people. That was the great sin that bothered Abraham. So he left his people, his father's land, and he went out from his father's land. And he traveled among many people. And we should study him also in the Bible, how he never would take advantage of anybody. If he could make it by himself, he did that. If you helped him, he wanted to pay you back. That's Abraham in the Bible. Anyway, he represents this new focus for man's advancement, but by cultivating the intellect, not the world, the physical world, but the intellect. So here is education. It's beginning of higher education. Beginning of attention to the need for higher education comes with Abraham. Peace be on him. So he was sitting as a thinker. And the Quran tells us, think, for thinking profits you. You will benefit by it. And it says, and the best of thinking, or reflection, thinking and reflecting, that's what it is the thinking on God. Dhikrullah al-Akbar. Thinking on God is the greatest. So we have done all we can with our spiritual life, with the spirit. We have spirit. But now, working to serve our spiritual life has gotten us to be involved in the outer world, have connected us with nations and with national leaders and with top people in religions. And look how small we are in our material structure. These little small places around here. Even Imam W.E. Muhammad, your leader, got a little small crowded space to work in. The people I'm meeting, it's not suitable for me to invite them to those places. They're not used to coming to a man of my popularity. I didn't use other language because you all are so sensitive. You heard what he said about himself. Why don't let somebody else say that? You're welcome, welcome. Say whatever you want to say. Yeah. So they see that we have advanced so far up here. And in our spirit and in our heart, but we have nothing to really give a home to that advancement. Where's the material home for our advancement? We don't have it. God gave us a spirit inside of a flesh body. God doesn't put you in the world with a spirit and no flesh body, although they call us spooks. God doesn't put a spook in the world. God put a human being with a flesh body in the world. He gave you a house for that spirit. And God speaks of communities, towns, neglected, their roofs falling in. And then their restoration, he say, is as though it was a resurrection. What is God telling us that for? To tell us that he created us with a spirit in a flesh body that houses us, and he made this container nice, didn't he? He made beautiful and nice your physical description or physical picture, your physical picture. He's telling you that to tell you now you are living with your bodies on the earth. And he has sent you guidance not only for your spiritual life, but also for your community life. And he made everything in the skies and in the earth for you to study and utilize it. Make use of it. He has made useful for you to study and bring it into your service for your community life. Whatever is in the skies and whatever is in the earth. That's what God says. If you register this with your rational, good common senses, what I'm saying to you right now, you are getting the same help from the Quran that the first followers got from Muhammad the Prophet. But they weren't Negroes. They weren't niggers. They weren't just constipated up here. Can't throw out crap, constipated right up here. They weren't like that. They were waiting for a man that respected their rational minds. They were waiting on him. And they heard him and they took charge of their immediate affairs and their life. And they became the people to bring a reawakening to the intellect of man. Scholarly pursuits were revived, came back. Studious men seeking to bring utility knowledge, science, out of God's creation. That's what happened. Same thing going to happen here. It's going to take long time, but it's going to happen. Because those who are already on these college campuses, they're going to more and more be looking at what Imam Waliuddin Muhammad, the son of Elijah Muhammad, is saying. More and more, they're going to be looking at what I'm saying. And they're going to take it, and they're going to do just what the first followers, intellectuals, and the following of the Yazid's honorable, most honorable, the messenger of God, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. They're going to do just what those followers did, and they're going to make this community and beautiful and productive, materially advanced, and they're also going to be a help in the whole world, for the whole world to become much better than it is. That's what's going to happen. Okay. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. You remember him saying that?
Yes.
More than saying that, it used to be on the blackboard, and the blackboard was in view of the congregation every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you would see on that blackboard that those words, Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. Now, as Muslims, you know, we turn toward Kaaba, right? That little simple symbolic structure we call Kaaba, or the house, God's house. It is built for all people, Bunya Linnas. Awwal Baytin, first of the houses, the most ancient of the houses, built for all people. That's what is given to us in Quran. And of that house, it says, that house is full of blessings. Listen to this. This is what Allah says in the Quran. The house is full of blessings. Not only blessings, it says, and guidance. So don't look at it anymore after hearing this from me. If you didn't have this mind before, please don't look at that anymore as just a simple material thing or structure. Look at it as a symbol that exudes and sends out messages to the intellect of the faithful that help them with the Quran. That symbol, that sign, holds message to help us guide our life, take our lives forward where Allah wants it to go, where our Creator wants our life to go as a community. It's a community symbol. It's a symbol for the community. And I have commented on it before, and in the future I'll be commenting on it more. But understand that it's a sign of the unity of all people under one Creator, and a sign of their God-given talents. I'm using the Bible. Talents are potential, God-given, natural, inherent ability to be skillful, to be creative, to be productive. It's a symbol of that. It holds that. Symbol holding that message for all of us. If you accept that what I've said, then you can understand better what Allah is saying when He says, wherever you are, followers of Muhammad, wherever you are, Muslims all over the world, turn your face toward this house. And wherever you may be scattered, Allah will bring you all together. If you accept the message given by and in that symbol. That message says, you were once one people. You were not different nations. You were not different races. You were once one people. God made you all one human type that's given in Adam, human. God made you all to be human in your excellence. Human, spirited, and motivated by your excellence that he created you with. That's the man. That's the human God made. And if you respect each other, that all of you are made that way, that will bring you together. That's what Allah is saying. That's what God is saying. If you respect what he's saying, God tells us that he made all of us like that. And all of us to have equal opportunity to achieve based upon our inherent qualities and properties as productive life. The founding fathers, they could never have envisioned this great society we have here if they had not come into that kind of knowledge or insight. And it's given in these words. We behold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator, recognizing the creator, with certain rights that you can't take away from them. Government can't take them away. Inalienable rights. Among these, life, the right to live, liberty, the right to be free, to progress, and the pursuit of happiness. And they translate it in the Constitution, means the right to vote. Right to vote, firstly, the right to have property, your own material property. And upon that achievement, you have the right to vote. That was done away with, and it should have been done away with. Poor people don't have anything, they have to vote too. Everybody have to have the freedom to say, have their say-so and influence the state and course of our government. So that was changed. But you see, the language is that I just gave you, I'm telling you whether you can see it or not. You don't have to see. If you can see everything that I show you, then you should lead, not me. I have people telling me how well I did. Oh, that beat was the greatest one you ever get. It hurts my feelings. Because I say, how they know? How they know? I need somebody else to grade my papers to say whether this was better than the last one or what. Yeah, I do. And I'm not bragging. I'm not the one to brag. I have no spirit or desire to brag. God knows that if you don't. To the FOI, there are many, and they love me. Most of the FOI of Nation of Islam, they love the son of Elijah Muhammad. They show me that love. I want you to remember, Islam, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. Also, we have from the Nation of Islam and from W.F. Muhammad, quote, you must put your mathematical theology in the proper terms, or in its proper terms. So what is that saying to us? And he called, and we all are students. Don't forget what I told you much earlier. We make us all students. And then he asked us what means and methods must be used. He's putting the burden on us, too, to work our way out of our bad situations. But he gives us plenty of help. And his language is the best help. That directs us to the Quran. And he asked a question. Make a statement. You must put your mathematical theology in the proper term. What is that statement saying? That what I've left with you on God is not in the proper language. So he left us that the original man, the black man, is God. And he gave us an idea of how the God began. That's his theology. And he's telling us plainly that theology is improper, not correct, as you're reading it. My Lord. It bothers me to know that some of you all hesitate to shout You ain't supposed to be frowning and looking doubtful. You should be shouting when I'm telling you these things. Because I'm giving you the real life. I'm taking you to the real life. Those things were mud. Muck and mud. But now I'm showing you how we're going to structure real life on the muck and mud. And you won't come into the real life. You still want muck and mud on your eyes. You want mud on your eyes. Oh, keep the mud on my eyes. I can't do it. Only God can wake them up. And maybe some of them don't deserve to be woke up. We can't do what God doesn't want. See, you must study the language. You will not be successful unless you speak well. These are the words of that same man that told us all those other things that you got as muck and mud or mud on your eyes. You will not be successful unless you speak well. And you will not speak well until you learn to put your mathematical theology in the proper terms. How many of you all followed the honor of Elijah Muhammad before the days of confusion came in and we started thinking of ourselves as black and beautiful, black and powerful and all that kind of stuff? How many followed him before the 60s? Raise your hand. Before the 60s. 60s brought in a different spirit and a different mindset. Yeah, keep your hands up, please. Thank you. I got my hand up. I did too. And God knows I did. Believed in him 100%. Would die, would give my life just like that if I had to for him. Yeah? Because he was our world. He was our life. We wouldn't have had it without him. Put your hands up once more. Before the 60s. Let your hand down. How many of you feel better when you hear me give explanations? How many of you have your life better and feel better? Feel that you are put in a position to do better with your life after hearing explanations from me? Thank you. So, thank you. I ain't working for nothing then. I'm getting ready to leave you all. Thank you. Allahu Akbar. That same man also said, study the language. Your teacher wants to hear from you at once. Speaking to every one of us. All of us came in as students. And in one of his lessons, he also said this, which touched me. I was always interested in being the best human being I could be and trying to help my father, get in a situation where I could help my father to help others come to the best human state they can come to. That was my interest as a boy, which tells me that God was molding me even when I was a boy. Because I was in the same environment you were in. I was taught the same things you were taught. But my family told me, see, he's different. Wallace is different. They would say that in my hearing. Wallace is different. I heard my father speak to the ministers once. He said, well, Wallace is different. They were saying how our teacher was different from the way they taught. He said, well, Wallace is different. So he meant to be that way. He said, he won't teach the Bible. He'll teach the Quran. That's what my father told his ministers back in the early 50s. He said other things too. He said that, told me, he said, son, God came to me in the person of Master Farhan Muhammad. Said, he's going to come to you too. Said, but it won't be in the person. He said, God is going to reveal to you. That's what my father told me. Oh, are you saying you're a prophet or messenger of God? No, I'm saying my father's guess or promise, whatever it was, has come true. God has revealed to me. And has been revealing to me over several years, many years. Oh, does that make you special? God revealed to women, according to the Quran. And God reveals to the earth, says, and the earth shall behave as though God had revealed to it. The earth. Now, what is that? What is that in reference to? The Bible promised that there's coming a time when light is going to light the throne, and the light's going to spread from the throne and cover the whole earth, and the whole earth is going to be light. The Quran gives it, says, and the earth is going to behave as though God revealed to her. The earth itself, the whole earth. Allahu Akbar. So that doesn't make me any bigger. Do I act like I'm bigger? If you got common human sense and common human feelings, you know I ain't proud. You know I don't want you to look up to me. So why would I be telling you these things? To help the truth come home, not to help me. I don't need it. God has created me without an appetite for these things. I don't need that. But that same man also said, in the lessons given to us, social means to advocate, and I'm speaking to the fruit again, the brothers, FYI. Social means to advocate a society of men or a group of men for one common cause. That's what he said. So what is he telling us with those words? That he wants us to become truly a Quranic guided community. But you don't have the Quran now. I haven't worked on you enough with my language and my strategy to have you go in the Quran now. It's too soon. So I'm telling you that I want you to become a society. Allah says to us in the Quran, you are the best community, or the best society, evolved or brought out of darkness and corruption for the good of all people. That's what Allah tells us in the Quran. So that tells those who have alert minds, studious minds and alert minds, that tells those and us that Allah does not accept that we just have faith. That we have to establish community life. If God came to us, shouldn't we be able to do as much as any other people have done? You tell me the creator, you either believe it or you don't believe it. If you believe that this is God, the creator of everything, that has reached us now and is guiding our life, then we are supposed to have something in our future as big as any other people got in their future. That means we are supposed to have sciences, medicine, industry, and the cultivation of the whole life of mankind on this earth. We are to have that and no less than that. That's the promised land. It never said promise ether. No, ether is up there, heaven, heavenly gas. It didn't say promise ether, it said promised land. Then he says, put yourself, telling you to do it, put yourself in heaven at once. Plenty of money, good homes. He knew you needed money, and you still do. He knew what would get your attention. Plenty of money, good homes. And he saw that we had bad homes, drinking, gambling, fighting each other, cursing, swearing, going to dance and doing being indecent at the dances. He knew our condition, and that was who made up the family in the house, people like that. But also the home itself was neglected because you couldn't get a fair chance to get material wealth in this business and grow in this country. So he knew the homes weren't any good, cheap, and physical appearance and neglected morally and spiritually. So he says, good homes. And he says, and friendships in all walks of life. Now, what do you mean by this? Friendship in all walks of life. There are some people They'll walk. I don't want to be their friend. I don't want to walk with them. But you have to be careful and take note that he said walks of life, and life to him, that word does not come from the world. That word comes from sacred scripture. When he says walks of life, life means the life God wants for us. Walks of death is what most of us have now. Walks of death. We have the walks of death, not walks of life. Alcoholism, drugs, crazy craze for sex, all that's walks of death. Lying, stealing, cheating, deceiving, undermining your friend for advantages, for personal advantages, dividing your friends against each other for personal advantages. All of that's the works of the devil and sin. He ain't talking about that. Put yourself in heaven at once. Plenty of money, good homes, friendships in all walks of life. Life as it is in Scripture, the life God chose for us. I don't know about you, but I want plenty of money. And God has qualified me to be responsible for plenty of money. I'm not going to use it in the wrong way. I'm going to only use it in the right way. Allahu Akbar. And I don't want it selfishly. I want it for the community. I want it for the promised land. In the lessons, we're also told the reward to the neatest and best worker of this problem says money, gold, but also a family Quran Sharif, as I mentioned earlier. Then it says, you all get busy and solve this problem. So here the teacher is asking the students to work with him and make their contribution to the solution, or to a solution for the problem. You all get busy and solve this problem. And don't forget, I told you of him when I started, that he said 24 scientists met in Mecca, the root of civilization, concerning the lost foundation of Islam must return to its own. So they sent a messenger to them to teach them of their own, or to teach them. So he's saying, no matter what he said he was the Son of Man, that means Christ Jesus. That means God is in him. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wasn't going on his own. He went on what his teacher gave him to say that he was God in the person. But he also said that 24 scientists met, and they sent him, and he was a messenger of 24 men, not even God. My mother, in conclusion on this part here, my mother, she was hurt so bad when I had been put out once. And now I had gotten back in. My father had let me back in the Nation of Islam. And here I was being put out again. And she just couldn't hardly take that. I almost cry when I think about her and the way she was hurting. My father was putting me out. And so he had me to the table. And I think he wanted me to tell you this. He had two black briefs. Sachet cases, you know, the businessman case. And before he started talking to me, he said, Sharif opened that case there for me. Raymond Sharif, the Supreme Captain, sitting at the hearing. my hearing. No, it's true. This is it. This ain't laugh. This ain't no laughing stuff. This is all real. And it might look funny to you, but it wasn't funny, brother. It was serious. And Sharif opened the case. It was full of money. Full of money. And he said, and there's a second case there. There were two of them. He said, son, I hear that you say you don't believe in our Savior. I said, Daddy, I said, I would more easily believe that you're the Savior, although I know that he was your Savior. I said, but all I know is you. That's how I was handling it. You have to believe in our Savior. I didn't say anything. How can you not believe in our Savior when you know your father was poor, had nothing? And I knew more than he was telling me, because my mother told me that he was a habitual drunk, and she had to bring him in her at home at night. She'd go out and look for him and find him. Strong little woman. She said, son, speaking to all of us, but she was speaking to a dressing one, said, son, I used to have to put him on my shoulder, bring him up the stairs, bring him in the house, and get into the bed and flip him off my shoulder onto the bed. She was saying that to tell us how far his Savior brought him. So I knew all that. So I still told my father, I said, well, Daddy, that's your Savior. I said, and I could more readily believe that you're the Savior than I can believe that he's the Savior. That wasn't enough for me. My God made me a rational person. And I started searching to see if this stands up. Is this really making sense? So just by some man coming and he changing his life like that, and now the poor man, the poor Elijah, poor Elijah Poole from Sandersville, Georgia, is Elijah Muhammad with all this money? That wasn't enough to convince me that I should believe the man was God because that happened. Look what happened to the Bolshevik Revolution. Look how they got together, common workers and people, led by a man with an idea. And they finally got Russia. They got the communist world. Look all that wealth. I'm supposed to believe that Marx was God? See, he's opened the material treasures up to whoever. He doesn't discriminate against any. Any who wants the material treasures, he say he opened them to them to try us. He says, but his special favor none gets except his devotees. So it's not the material world that is the more valuable. It is the guidance from God that is the more valuable. And in the long run, God says, and he have made these things of the material world also for his servants. You hear me? This is Quran. And he says, and in the end, these things will be exclusively for his devotees. So the sinners and schemers, they only have a time on this earth to enjoy being the leaders of the material world. Eventually, God's going to take that leadership from them and give it to his devotees. Allahu Akbar. God is greater. So you all get busy and solve this problem. Your teacher is waiting to hear from you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.